Ben Stenny with you, filling in for Matthew Abraham and David Bevan, who are back with you in mid-January. Someone I know they always enjoy speaking with, as do I, is Mark Levine. He's a constitutional attorney, formerly worked for the US Congress, is currently a nationally syndicated American radio and TV talk show host, and tells all his friends he talks to 891 ABC Adelaide. Hello, Mark, how are you?
Hello. I tend to tell my friends I speak in Adelaide. I'll tell you, I joke all the time with Matt and Dave, and I really enjoy being on your show. I know we're dealing with a much more serious topic, but I just want you to know and let everyone in Adelaide know that we do know this, and what happened in Sydney is really awful, and I think Americans really feel for Australia today.
Yeah, well, let's start with that if we can, please, Mark. I mean, how was the situation in Sydney reported in the US, and what was the American reaction?
Well, we saw it live as it happened, much as we would see an event in the United States. We unfortunately have had more than our share, frankly, much more than Australia has had, share of deranged gunmen take over buildings and schools or places of business. What happened, what we saw in Australia, to me, didn't seem that different from what has happened too often in the United States. I think that's actually weirdly a good sign, not what happened, but that when something happens in Australia, I think Americans feel very connected to Australia. I mean, you're as far away from us as you possibly can get on the globe, but nonetheless, I think there's certain similarities. We're both old British possessions. We're both kind of cheeky societies that are sort of proud of our rambunctiousness. And when bad news happens to Australia, I think it's something that Americans feel. And I wanted to convey that to your listeners today.
Oh, well, that's very much appreciated, Mark. I guess the main difference for us here is that this is very much out of the ordinary. And when something like this does happen in our own country, that we do feel it quite deeply. To some extent, are Americans a little desensitized to situations like this?
I'm afraid so. Obviously, September 11th was a huge wake-up call, but September 11th was massive. I mean, there were thousands of innocent people murdered. It wasn't a few people. Every time one of these deranged gunmen, and it's often going into our schools, happened, I think we're transfixed for the moment, and sadly, all too often we move on, and we have, of course, this great battle in the United States between those who want freer access to guns and people like me who think that it's crazy to let crazy people have guns. And so sometimes I'm afraid it goes into the political sphere. When you look in Australia and you see it, I just think there's just Americans see almost just a kinship to feeling that isn't that awful, That's sort of how a friend called me. Isn't it awful that now some crazy man is in a cafe in Australia and there's hostages, and there's nothing really to say other than we feel for you, and we know it's going to take some time to heal.
Actually, it's interesting, Mark, that you bring up the gun debate, because in Australia we do have very strict gun control laws, and I know there's much debate in the US about the right to actually bear arms, which is a distinct difference between the US and Australia. But in this situation, this is somebody who was on parole for some...
How did he get his weaponry?
That's the question.
Do we know?
That's the question. I mean, how did he get hold... In a country with very tight gun control laws, a person who is on parole somehow got hold of weapons. And I wonder if in some
way... And apparently had been accused of murder,
yeah,
right?
Very,
of his wife. So if you're accused of killing someone and you're on parole for that and you can get a gun, something's really wrong there.
And I wonder if that's almost an argument in the US for maintaining the level of gun control that you have there, because the argument is often that those people who want guns aren't the sort of people who are going to commit crimes, that if people are going to commit crimes, I'll get them anyway.
Well, that is the argument that's made. I personally support what you've done in Australia, and in fact, I've used it as an example in the United States, because as awful as what happened 2 days ago is it is much rarer in Australia, thank God. I'd love to see our gun crimes be as rare as yours. But I do think that your authority of how this man got a gun and how to close that loophole in Australia.
Yeah. Now, that would be the subject of some debate. Another awful situation we'd like to get a US reaction to is this story from Pakistan overnight with Taliban. Into a school, 130 students of the school, 9 staff members. That's the latest figures we have. This is in Peshawar. We know that that your Secretary of State has called for attackers to be held accountable. What role does the US play in responding to this?
At this point, we would need Pakistan to really step up. And it might just do the trick. This crime is so awful, so horrendous. The stories of little children hiding under benches and armed gunmen searching for them to shoot them out. It's so astonishingly evil that Pakistan, I think, has been of two minds in the war on terror all along. There's certainly democratic elements in Pakistan. There's certainly people that want to fight the Taliban. And there are other elements in Pakistan who say, well, you know, these terrorists have some support and we dare not go against them too hard. I think this is a wake-up call, really, for Pakistan. I don't know how much more the United States can do. We're obviously not going to invade Pakistan. We've had some limited drone strikes in Pakistan. At the end of the day, I think it's up to the Pakistani democracy, and I really hope this is a wake-up call. Their government has been taking stronger stances lately, but at this point, I think the Pakistani people have to rally against this atrocious evil in their country. And I also wonder what the terrorists think they're achieving. I mean, if they believe in Sharia law so much, do they really think that this convinces anyone to adopt that law? If anything, it horrifies people and makes them shy away from whatever aims they have. It's very, very hard to wrap my mind around what happened.
Yeah, I mean, how does it further their cause? That's the big question, isn't it?
I don't understand that. The only thing I could think of, obviously it doesn't further their cause through any joy. No sane person takes joy in the murder of children. It can only further their cause through fear. I mean, that's largely what ISIS does. A lot of their atrocities are based more on fear than effectiveness. I mean, beheading the American, the Briton, that didn't help ISIS in any real way. Those people were no threat to ISIS. It was a way to scare people into compliance. But they're not going to scare the United States into doing anything, and they're not going to scare Australia, whatever this self-proclaimed sheikh had in mind. And I actually think it will backfire in Pakistan, even though Pakistan would be the country to be most likely to be scared by this. I don't think people react by giving in to fear. I don't, and even in Pakistan. But we'll see. But I don't think so. I hope not.
As I mentioned before, John Kerry has come out very strongly. Has there been any response from President Obama yet?
I haven't heard it. As you say, and this is the really sad thing, I think to some extent we're desensitized by it, particularly in Pakistan, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq. The crimes are so horrific and so severe, and frankly, they pale in comparison to what happens every day in Syria, where 200,000 people have been murdered, 7 million refugees. We do get desensitized in the Middle East. In fact, in some ways, the Australian story played a bit bigger, I would say, than in Pakistan, even though, obviously, 3 people dead is not like 100 and some children, but because Australia is seen as much more akin to the United States and a similar country with similar values and an ally, and I think people care a bit more about what happens to Australians. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that's the way it is, because I think in the Middle East we almost feel like this stuff is par for the course.
Mark Levine, I'm sorry we're having to have this conversation at this time of the year, because it's supposed to be a time of joy and happiness, isn't it?
Yeah, we usually have some wonderful, frivolous conversations with Matt and Dave, and we talk about all kinds of funny things. Today, it's a pretty solemn topic. I don't know what to say, except that, please, I want to wish everyone in Down Under a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and know that at least this American will be thinking about the people in Adelaide.
Mark Levine, it's always delightful to hear from you, and I'm sure that will be an ongoing thing. Thank you so much indeed.
Thank you, Spence.
Mark Levine, who joins Matthew and David on the 891 Breakfast program on a regular basis.